I'd like now to welcome back to the program Eric Herm. He is a farmer and author. His new book is called Surviving Ourselves, The Evolution of Community, Education, and Agriculture in the 21st Century. And he will be speaking at Collected Works on the 17th of January. That's this Thursday at 6 o'clock here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
So you are talking about basically the many, many problems, social problems, environmental problems, food system problems that we have in this country and indeed in the world. And you have a really interesting perspective as a farmer from West Texas. What do you see as a farmer that the rest of us, perhaps living in cities or not doing that kind of work, that we aren't seeing?
Well, we need to get back to nature. I think that we've been trained for several generations now to take a lot of things for granted, and first and foremost, our food. But everything, from my perspective, stems from our relationship with nature and how we are essentially a part of everything, and nature is an extension of ourselves. And yeah, we've been trained to treat everything like a commodity or just make money or get caught up in the daily grind, and we don't really get down to the fundamentals of living. And by doing so, by focusing on our food, water, our shelter, you know, our communities, our love for one another, I think that we can help solve a lot more of our problems instead of trying to wait for government or corporations to solve it for us.
One of the things that you are really working on is looking at the food system and the problems with the food system, genetically modified foods, herbicides, pesticides, and a way of farming that has certainly been done and is being done in the area where you live. You completely switched over to organic farming. How did you do that, and what was it like, and why did you do it?
Well, I felt that there was a need. I saw the commodities or the commercial agriculture aspect just continues to get more and more entrenched with the chemical companies and the GM, genetically modified crops. And even though I started doing that when I first moved back to the farm, I saw that we were, in fact, causing more problems with the huge dependence on chemicals. And the problems that GMOs present are so many layers and so complicated that, you know, we haven't even really seen what that's going to do to us and the soil and everything around it long term. I just felt that there was a real need to get back to nature, to simplify things, to be have a more purified approach, and organics was the best way I knew how to do that. And it helps not only open up yourself and reconnect you to the earth and your surroundings, but it's a win-win because it's better for the environment, it's better for your long-term personal health, and it's better for everyone around. The way that I went about it is just basically hard work. I mean, you roll up your sleeves and put on your boots and you go about it. There's more work involved doing it this way than just going out there and planting and spraying Roundup on everything a couple times a year, which is what most guys around here do. You make a decision and you stay dedicated to it and you keep on with it and you don't give in. Even though we're probably one of the last family farms around here who are not doing the Roundup farming, I'm dedicated to it and I'm going to keep on doing it for as long as I can.
How do the farmers around you respond to what you're doing?
There's a lot of skepticism. Fortunately, I have some organic farmers and their experience to lean on. They're farther to the north of me, you know, about 40, 50 miles. But some of these guys have been doing it for 20 years. They're real, what I consider pioneers in the organic, modern organic industry. My neighbors around me, they think I'm crazy. They think that I probably lost my mind. And if you're farming in West Texas, you need to be a little crazy because that's what helps you get by on a lot of days. But, I don't know. I'm definitely in the minority, so I don't really worry too much about what others are thinking about me.
What is your vision for what farming in the U.S. could be like? I mean, it's a big step to go, I don't even know if it's back or forward, to a family farming model, but how do you see a healthy form of agriculture in this country?
Well, I think just the way you said it, you need to do a little do-si-do. You got to go backwards as you're going forward in this dance, and I think that we take some of the old-school methods, the healthy ones, the innovative concepts that worked, and we couple that with a little bit of modernization. And to me, by no means do we rely completely on technology. And for me personally, I by no means rely strictly on the old concepts. I try to blend everything together. And to me, what I would think we need to be doing to make everything work moving forward in this country is to localize, first and foremost, localize our food production in this country to secure our food and water supply in our communities. If we want to revolutionize the economy, localizing our food supply, and making sure that it's healthy and organic and getting away from GMOs, and trying to push more legislation to get the labeling with GMOs. I know New Mexico is working on that as we speak. Proposition 37 failed in California, but there's other states moving forward. It takes everybody to be vigilant and what I consider to be a food revolution and is more or less really an existence revolution.
How do you see the relationship between your vision and the reality that so many people live in cities, and that's not really about to change?
Well, there's so many wonderful concepts and different ideas. I don't think there's any magic wand or bullet that's going to solve all this. To me, it's different beats for different feats, and what works best for me here in West Texas is going to be different for people in Santa Fe or Albuquerque or New York City. You got a lot of urban farms that are popping up, a lot of CSAs, you know, the concepts of vertical gardens, of buildings that are green friendly, that have more windows open to the south that you can grow small gardens in them. There's a number of concepts, and we're going to have to implement all of them. Permaculture, I think, is a wonderful, wonderful tool for us. And you got Scott Pittman there with the Permaculture Institute right there in Santa Fe. We're going to have to implement some more concepts that are less labor-intensive and more friendly for our own personal climate.
One thing that's so interesting about your book is that you kind of paint a picture of groups all over the world, whether they be indigenous groups or organic farmers, who are all kind of looking toward a similar vision of an earth-friendly future. And I have to say, in a world where it's not easy to be optimistic given the reality that we have, the fact of all these people who are working simultaneously, if not exactly together, is very interesting and kind of gives me a sense of hope.
Yeah, that's what I feel like this book will do and can do for people, because it gives you real-life examples of people who are out there doing this, and they're changing the world for the better, and they're making this work. And often I think it's easy for us to just throw our hands up in the air and say, well, what can I do? Well, you've got some key examples of just a few people in this book that are doing whatever it takes to make this world a better place, and to really be innovative, be creative, and also be efficient economically and in every other concept, whether it's the business model or their own personal lives or in the communities, such as the town of Saxapaw, North Carolina. And that's what I really wanted to get across to people, is like there is hope, there is a chance for us to right this ship and really start steering it in a different direction, and that's what we all need to be doing if we're not already.
One of the things that you talk about in the book is just simple things that everybody can do, which is essentially putting your feet on the ground and sitting quietly and watching the sunrise, and things that are so simple that you, in a way, you think you shouldn't even have to write them down. But one of the examples that you give is they did this study of, they sent one group of people for a walk in a shopping mall and the other group of people for a walk in nature, and the results of how those two different groups felt afterwards was really striking.
Yeah, and I everybody's wired a little bit differently. For me personally, I don't function that well in crowded areas, particularly, you know, if I go to Walmart on the weekends or anywhere where there's crowds and lots of concrete and asphalt, I start to, you know, look for an exit real quick. And I think that that's really how we are, a lot of us are, deep inside, even though if you're an urban dweller or not, I think that most of us long for that connection to nature, and we need it. We have to have it in our lives. And, you know, even if you can only spend 5 to 15 minutes a day just, you know, whether it's a walk in the park or just having your moment in early in the mornings or late in the evenings, just make sure you dedicate that time each day, and that way helps ground us a little bit more instead of trying to go to doctors who will prescribe us more meds to get over our depressions or anxieties.
One thing that I've been noticing recently that is incredibly easy and also easy to overlook living here in a city is you just watch the birds that are outside, and they're amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible how many different creatures that we don't even notice or pay much attention to, but when you start to dedicate that time, it's amazing what you learn, not only about that particular animal or creature, but also what you'll learn about yourselves and that connection that exists and everything.
Eric Herm is a farmer and a writer. His new book is called Surviving Ourselves, The Evolution of Community, Education, and Agriculture in the 21st Century. And once again, he'll be at Collected Works Bookstore on Thursday, the 17th at 6 o'clock, right here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, collectedworksbookstore.com. And on Friday, January 18th at noon, Eric will also be speaking at the Natural Grocers by the Vitamin Cottage at 3328 Cerrillos Road here in Santa Fe. Eric Herm, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
All right, thanks for having me.
And Eric Herm's website is sonofafarmer.com.